Hey, what's going on, everybody? We're on another episode of Sit Down with Sniper. Today, we have an amazing, amazing artist who goes by Zane. How you doing, brother?
Good, dude. How are you?
Doing good. I've been waiting for this episode. So, you know, you made Chippy's World like, I don't know, it feels like forever ago now. Before we even jump into any of that, when did you make that project?
Yeah, it feels like forever, doesn't it? But we actually, so I've been making Chippy's World, not the NFT collection, but Chippy the character and stuff, since 2020. But I launched the official NFT collection that you're referring to April of 2022, just a couple months ago.
April of 2022. Yeah, it feels like it's been forever, man. This space goes so fast. But we're going to jump into, bro, like everything you've done, not just Chippy. You know, you've got to work alongside Gary Vee. You make some of the most amazing threads on Twitter. So we'll jump into like how you, I see your little whiteboard in the background. So I feel like you might use that for the threads. But I guess to first jump in, when did you learn about crypto and NFTs? Were you an artist and just dabbled into it? Or is this something, you know, can you walk us through that?
Yeah, of course. So my story is really weird. I've never heard anyone with my same story, because what happened was, so in 2020, I'll take it all the way back. So I started working for Gary Vee in 2018, but technically really in 2019, I moved to New York City and I really joined the team Gary Vee, his personal brand team. So I was there in the office with the team every day. We're making all sorts of great content for Gary, making him a household celebrity. And then COVID happened, right, in 2020. And so right when COVID happened, now I'm no longer in the office. I'm at home like everyone else. And because I'm no longer commuting, I'm really bored, I picked up art again. So I really started drawing because of COVID. I actually don't think I would have been creating anything like art or Chippy or anything like that if it weren't for the pandemic. And so I started drawing in 2020. And then I was still working with Gary at the time through COVID. But then what, to answer your question, what happened was in late 2020, right when Clubhouse was becoming a thing, Gary started talking on interviews about crypto and NFTs. And that was just started. It was super early. And at the time, I didn't care for it. I was not a big crypto guy before. I think I had a little bit of like ETH, a little bit of Bitcoin, but nothing insane. I didn't know much about it and I wasn't interested, but I knew I had to watch these interviews so I could make good content for Gary. So that was it. I was like, I'm just going to learn about this so I can make good content for Gary and just do good at my job. Funny enough, like 2 months later, so like 3 months before VFriends launched in May of 2021, I left Team Gary Vee to go start VFriends. So I was like the second or third employee at VFriends. I was the head of community and social media. And so it's like, you know, I'm now in VFriends land. And again, I don't know much about NFTs or crypto, but I have to now figure it out. And not only have to figure it out, I have to figure it out to a degree that I can speak about it to other people. I can create curriculums around it and launch a successful NFT project for Gary. And so that was a ton of fun. But so that became my introduction to crypto and NFTs, was getting to figure out how to launch VFriends successfully in last year.
Wow. And I can't lie, man, big congratulations to you and Gary, because I would say VFriends was pretty successful. You know, Gary himself is a very successful person. He has success with VFriends too. He got that in Macy's. So big ups to him and huge ups to you. Now, I want to ask you, working for Gary, and I feel like we know the answer for this, did it help you in your career where you are now?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's not even close. Like, it's so funny, man, like working. So, you know, I see it in two phases, right? It's Team Gary Vee and then it's VFriends, because they did feel very different. Team Gary Vee, I spent like 2 or 3 years. I can't remember exactly how the numbers are, but everyone who works at Team Gary always doubles it in terms of years, because you're doing so much. You're working all the time, you know, a lot on the weekends. It never stops. And I don't mean that in a negative way. It was actually super fun because I loved it. I was always thinking about work, even though I wasn't working. But I gained so much great experience from there on the community and content side. And then VFriends was a different beast, because not only did I have to figure out crypto, NFTs, I was now in a startup environment. You know, Team Gary Vee, when I joined, it was already kind of established. Like there were always processes that I was iterating, but for the most part, there were SOP guides. Like things were set up in a way where you walk in and you there's already processes in place, versus VFriends, we were starting everything from scratch. Socials, mailing lists, like everything. And so that was the I was on VFriends, I guess, from like January of 2021. We launched VFriends in May of 2021. It sold out in June of 2021. And then I left VFriends in September, I believe, of 2021. So I was there only 9 months there to see like series one. But man, the amount of information I learned in those 9 months at a startup environment in a place like VFriends is absolutely insane. Yeah, I feel like what I tell people, and I mean this in the least like cocky way, is I feel like if I could get through that, I feel like everything else feels so easy now in my life. Like I haven't had any challenge come up yet that I'm like, oh my God, like it's so difficult. Cause then I just think back to my VFriends days. I'm like, dude, if you can figure that out, you can figure the rest of this stuff out, you know?
Yeah, you basically went through like NFT founder boot camp with yeah. VFriends. So, I mean, it was good. That does raise the question for me, what would make you want to go and start Chippy? What was it? Was it something at VFriends that you saw? Was it just something inside of you? What made you want to start the whole Chippy's world?
Yeah, it's a great question. So when I discovered NFTs last year, like I said, launching VFriends and figuring out all things community and content for it, as I was learning the space, meeting the people in the space, I just fell in love with it. And I knew pretty early on, like right when VFriends was launching in May of 2021, I remember like actually sitting there. It launched on May 11th. And I remember on May 11th, right when VFriends was launching, I'm like, man, I really want to launch my own collection one day or multiple collections one day. Like I want to be a creator in this space. But I remember all of 2021 telling myself, it's like, give it a year. Like give yourself a year to really understand the space. Make sure you understand this is, you know, make sure you understand what it means to like actually be an NFT creator for a project. Make sure you understand what works, what doesn't work, what do you like. Tech, you know, what can you do with the tech right now? How do you do that? So I was like, hey, I'm gonna give myself a year. I'm gonna join different communities. I'm gonna buy NFTs, I'm gonna sell NFTs, I'm gonna do everything this year. So in 2022, I can launch, my own small collection, Chippy's World. So I wanted to give myself 365 days to really make sure I understood what I was getting into versus just jumping into it, you know?
I like that, man. And I definitely respect that. I try to take the same route with the podcast. I was like, you know, before I could teach anyone else or even ask anyone else questions, I definitely got to kind of fill out the room, know where I am, understand it myself before I can even ask a crazy question to someone else. So I definitely like that. Now that we have Chippy's World, you know, you've done what you've done at VFriends. You got your little boot camp on over there with Gary. You come over, you start Chippy's World. Now we have Chippy, which is this, for those that can't see, it's this amazing red character that's sitting behind Zane right now, and I'm looking at him. But talk us through who Chippy is, what it kind of like means to you, and where you're going with this. What is his story, if you can?
Yeah, of course. So Chippy is what I tell people, he's my imaginary best friend. So basically the backstory, just to give you the 2 minute bird's eye view, is, you know, as I mentioned, COVID had just started in March 2020 in terms of like, no, you know, we're all stuck at home, no going anywhere. And like a lot of people, dude, I was anxious, I was scared, I was uncertain of what's happening. I'm now in New York City in this tiny apartment with my roommates. And just, you know, and especially if you remember COVID and the pandemic, like it was really bad in New York City when it first started in the US. And so it was just a lot of uncertainty and just, you know, anxiety, layoffs happening. And so I remember just like, you know, I started drawing again. This was like after 10 years, by the way. I had not picked up any kind of drawing for like 10 years. And I just fell in love with it. I was having so much fun. And I created then, while I was like creating art and putting on Instagram at the time, I just created a random series of characters I was trapped in my little apartment with. And one of those characters, those imaginary monsters, went on to become Chippy. And I knew as soon as I created Chippy and put him on Instagram and I saw the comments, something just felt right. I'm like, okay, I think Chippy's going to be the mascot of my brand. But if you look back, the first picture of Chippy, he's got these tiny little eyes, no eyeballs. He I don't even think he had a smile. Like, he just looked completely off, like completely different than what you see now. And then over the last 2 years, from 2020 to 2022, I've just been developing this character's personality, looks, all these things over time until where we are now. And in terms of who Chippy is this red character. He's mischievous. He loves getting in trouble. He's super sarcastic. He's friendly, but he's very playful. But his biggest thing is he's just like very mischievous. He just loves getting in trouble. And that's funny because over the last 2 years of building this character's personality, I feel like people that have watched Chippy grow over the last 2 years feel like they know his personality, but no one knows where he's from. His origin story, is he from a planet? Who's his parents? Why does he have three horns? Like, most devils have two horns. Is this a devil? Like, no one knows, like, what is Chippy? And so that's why I'm excited about Chippy's world, because we're going to finally get to answer those questions. So going back to the NFT collection itself, Chippy's world is 2,500 NFTs. It's like a PFP style type of art. And the focus of Chippy's world is just to create things that and build special memories together. The reason I did 2,500 as opposed to 10K, for example, was I really valued having a small group of people that just really love Chippy and like getting to chat with them and get to know them and do cool stuff together. Over the last couple of months, some things that we've done that I think lead towards that is, one, I wrote handwritten letters to over 200 holders who gave me their actual physical mailing addresses, and I sent them little surprises, which was fun. And then we just announced not too long ago Chippy's first book that we're making, and that's going to be the big thing. Like, that's the focus. Everything else is secondary to me. So, you know, we brought on two absolute legends, a guy named Andy Lanning, who's worked at Marvel in DC for 30 plus years. He was also the writer for Guardians of the Galaxy. So he like really knows how to tell stories. And then a gentleman named Grant Perkins is a writer for the book. He's worked with DreamWorks, WWE, Doctor Who, big IPs. And you got me as the artist and kind of the creator. And so the three of us are making this book together. And the book is going to answer a lot of those questions I mentioned before about Chippy, his friends. And it's the first time we're going to really tell Chippy's story. And I'm super excited about it. So, it's December of 2022. It's funny, over the next couple months when we look back at this podcast, we're gonna have so much content about the book building process on Twitter and other places, because I really want to build this book in public the same way I built Chippy's World NFT collection in public.
That's crazy. And it's so amazing, because for one, I can tell you've done things like this before. Every time I'm about to ask you a question, you circle back, answer it, and it's perfect, man. I love it. With Chippy, I was actually going to speak on the things that you've done for the holders. I've seen you write the handwritten letters, all red letters. You posted a picture on Twitter, sent them out. I thought that was amazing. You're always, always, always building for Chippy's world, regardless what the market conditions are, which I respect a whole bunch. We've seen a lot of projects come out here, and you know, it is what it is. Things have went left, and a lot of people have left alongside of it. So that's been crazy to see. But to know that, you know, you've never really cared about the floor price. It's more or less getting a group of people that care about what you make and having a story together and building a community with them. That's why, I mean, even myself, I messaged you the other day and I was like, yo, I just traded like 21 NFTs for one Chippy because I had to get it, man. You know what I'm saying?
Dude, that was so crazy.
Dude, I mean, the thing was, I've seen Chippies around for a while, and I was always told myself, like, I'm always down to support, one, my friends, but two, people in this space that are really, like, pushing forward, always trying to build, always trying to help others. And that's what, like, Chippies has, like, really stood for me. Like, every time I've seen you on Twitter, you're helping people out. Your DMs are always open. You're super nice. You're super genuine. So I was like, that's what I want to be a part of. And the community is the same way. I think as soon as I posted the Chippy, there were tons of people that like flooded my comments. I was like, yo, it's great to have you. Like, you know, come hang out, stuff like that. That's what I love to see. So I want to ask you, you know, you named the big people that are working on the book for Chippies. What are you doing right now with Chippies? Are you just relaxing and letting everything do its thing, or are you just building up for that moment?
Yeah, and thank you for the kind words. That's really nice of you. I think, so right now, no, I wish I was resting, but we're having a lot of fun. So right now, just to give you an idea, like I mentioned, the book is the big priority, and we're going to start building in public very soon. So right now on the back end, where we're spending some time, is basically Andy, Grant, and I, the three people that are creating this book, we wanted to make sure before I start building anything in public that, because there's going to be so much of that happening soon, we wanted to make sure that the book, in terms of the writing portion, was done. And so we're actually literally right now finalizing the writing of the book. And then after that moment, which should be, I really think in the next 2 weeks, we'll be done with the actual writing part of it. Then we're going to start building in public and being a lot louder, because then there's stuff to show. Then I'll show, because then it's just like art and laying out the book and all that kind of fun stuff. And there's so much more building and documentation you could do with that type of content. So I can do time lapses. I can do live streams for 5 hours where I just have a camera over me and I draw and you just watch me if you want. I'll do polls. We'll have like 4 book covers, for example, maybe, and have the community vote what the book cover should be. So there's going to be a lot of like engagement interaction stuff happening. So, but right now we're just finalizing the writing of the book, which I'm really excited about. I think the writing itself, single pages, comes out to like, I think it's like 120 pages or so, which is pretty dope. And then with my art, I think the way we're going to lay it out, it should probably be pretty close to, at this point at least, it might change, I don't know. But at least right now, it'd probably be around 180 to 200 pages total once we're done.
Wow. There you go again, man. Answering questions before I even, that was the first thing I was going to say. Yo, how many pages do we know? Dude, that's a lot of pages. That's no little book. That's no Dr. Seuss Cat in the Hat. Just a couple flip through and then I'm done. I like that though. That's crazy. I can't wait to see it. And I want to start seeing the tweets of you like pushing it out, because that's the one thing. And that's what I want to transition over to. I've seen you on Twitter and you're a great builder. You're a great, I hate saying builder, but you are, you're a great builder. And the, from the threads to just the knowledge that you put out there, it's very, very useful. Even what was it you posted about the Satoshi NFTs, for example? I didn't even know that those things were pumping. Didn't even know that he came back until I saw your thread. And now a lot of people are going to be like, oh, that's probably because you follow 300 people. Credit, yeah, you're probably right. But, anytime I came across you pushing something out, it's been very useful. And I think a lot of other people have as well. Could you talk to us about, this is going to be a pretty broad question, but why you care so much on helping other people and why you like pushing out the threads? And we'll get a little bit more into the threads in a minute, but I've always been so curious. Why are you so helpful?
Oh, well, thank you. It's funny. I don't see myself as helpful, but I do appreciate that. I certainly won't stop you from saying that. I just enjoy it. It's just fun. Like, especially right now in the bear market, like it's not fun losing money, but it is fun right now, right? And the fact that it's like a small, tight-knit group of people, it feels like it's right now, it feels like it was in like, you know, February of 2021 to me, where like everyone was super early in NFT Twitter and it was just fun. But no, I don't see myself as helpful. I just like to document things a lot. I like to share things a lot. Because one, I like sharing things because either A, it actually does help someone. It's just interesting like to do that, give people knowledge. And then two, if I'm wrong, like let's say I put, because I on my Satoshi thread, for example, yesterday, I messed up. So on the first thread, I said the open edition of his was 24 hours. And it was actually 12 hours. So I messed that up. So people correct you. And it's good because then I learn too. So it's like a way for me to help people learn, but also for me to learn selfishly. And then two, I think it's just fun to document. Like what's been really cool, last year I was, you know, similar to you in the NFT market, putting out tons of tweets about NFTs and my thoughts and my observations. And it's been so much fun to look back at those tweets a year later. With the brand new environment and just see like how much has changed, how much have I changed. And so I just think about documentation a lot in that way as well. I just love Twitter. It's fun. It's funny. I have like, so on Twitter, I think I have about 20, like close to 20K followers, a little less. And on LinkedIn, for example, I have over 30K. So I actually have way more on LinkedIn, but I love Twitter so much more. It's like relevant, it's timely, it's more fun. It's just more interesting mechanics involved that keep me on the platform more.
Yeah, no, I agree. Twitter's been my favorite. I've been on there for 10 years. Of course, not with NFTs, whether it be shoes, clothing, it don't matter. But no, I mean, I got to call you helpful, man, just because, I mean, there's a lot of people that I feel do push out content and call it what it is. It's definitely for farming. You know, I've seen you push out content that is, like we said, literal to help people, to make people aware of something, just to document something. And that's a really cool thing to do whenever you document, like you said, with the podcast. You know, I can go back to the start. I can say from the podcast, Doodles, for those that know the project, they've been anywhere from 0.8 to 20 to 5. So it's just, and Cool Cats too, you know, Cool Cats were 15 at one point, they were 1. And to have, you know, conversations documenting that and talking about when Cool Cats was 15 ETH, that's fun to go back. I mean, it's not fun to not have that money, but it's always fun to go back and just learn, damn, wow, we've really been here for a long time. I do want to ask you about your threads, though. We have the amazing great thread guy on Twitter, but we have another thread guy in yourself. You know, I've seen you post tweets with this whiteboard that you have sitting behind you. And whenever you make a thread, it's not just like I do. Let me roll over and make a thread of the first thing that pops to mind, probably a couple errors. You know, you really think it out. You really like draw it out. This is what I'm trying to say. Why do you put so much into the threads and what all goes into them? I mean, because these are pretty thought out, you know, things.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. It's, it depends on the thread itself. So for example, the Sartoshi thread you mentioned where he announced he's coming back. And I kind of jumped on that right away. To be honest, a big part of that was like, I knew that a lot of people were going to talk about it. So what happened was I got on Twitter last night. I was relaxing on my couch. Things were good. And I got on Twitter and I saw someone say like, someone just tweeted, oh my God, Sartoshi. And I was like, whoa, something's going on. So I immediately like get my detective hat. I go through Twitter advanced search. I start getting the story. I spent 20 minutes researching it. I felt like I had all the facts in the story. And so for that thread, it was a lot quicker. It was more like in the moment, let me just get it out because I want to be the first mover on this story. Because that very rarely happens. Most people beat me to things. I'm not like a news reporter. But for most of my threads, the process is, it's pretty fun. It's basically what I like to do is my whiteboard behind me. That, like you mentioned, that's my go-to for everything. I need my whiteboard. I can't work in a place without a whiteboard either. Like if I was like even when I was in the office back when I used to work at like Amazon and Team Gary Vee and stuff, like I needed to have a whiteboard next to me, even if it was really small. It's just how I document my thoughts. And yeah, if I'm writing a thread, let's say first I'll always decide the topic. Like what's the topic? Why do I want to write about it? And what's one valuable thing that I could put in there that I think someone else would like it so much they would retweet? And then from there I start outlining everything on my whiteboard. And what I do is I'll have like a number next to it. So I'll put one, that's like the first tweet you'll see. And then I'll put like, I'll literally write the actual tweet on my whiteboard. And then under it, I put bullet points on like what things like should happen in this section. And I just kind of literally organize the whole thing on my whiteboard. And then from there, I'll come on my computer and then I'll write it on Notion. So that's when I actually write it long form. And then it's also where I kind of keep it as a backup. And then I'll add all the assets in there, like images, if there's any videos, any links. And then I'll go to Twitter and type it all out. So depending on the thread, it can take a while. Like, for example, back in, I want to say September of this year, so a couple months ago, I wrote a thread about doodles. And like, because they hadn't tweeted in so long. And I actually said, like, hey, if I was your social media manager, here's like all the things I would do. And that thread, I think totally, like altogether, took me like 6.5 hours to make. Because I had to write out the long form, then I had to condense it, then I had to make sure it was simplified. Then I wrote too much, so I had to like go down and just break it down. So like no one's gonna read a 26, you know, thing thread. I had to shorten it. But it was like 6.5 hours of work. What was cool though was it actually paid off. Like it blew up. It was one of my top 2 or 3 performing threads of all time. And what was really interesting was I got so much inbound from it because that was one of the threads where I really showed my chops, like my Team Gary mode kicked in. I showed how I know how to be a content manager, a social media person. Yeah. So people started reaching out to me that had nothing to do with doodles. They're like, hey, can you consult for us? Can you work with us? And so that led to some fun opportunities on the consulting side. So the 6.5 hours of work paid off.
Wow. 6.5 hours. I don't know if people realize that's how long you go to school. So this man just spent a whole school day making a thread. That's dedication. But I think it says a lot about your character, man. And that's why I would call you helpful because I don't think you genuinely went out and was like, yeah, I'm making this thread so I can gain 10,000 followers today. Like that's my plan. And then as soon as they do it, I'm going to feed them some BS and then they're going to buy it and I'm good.
No, that's never the type of 100%. And I'll say that for it's always things like what inspires me, right? Like I try to be relevant as possible for the doodles one. Like literally what happened is that morning I was listening to Fur Oaks Rug Radio Show in the morning And they were all talking about Doodles and like how they haven't tweeted in so long. And what does it mean to like be a project owner these days? Like, are you obligated to tweet and communicate with your community? Stuff like that. And I remember just thinking as I was listening, I'm like, oh, I have like a strong position on this. Like, I know exactly how I feel about this. I know what my point of view is. And so that kind of passion in me was like, oh, I need to talk about this. I need to write a thread. But it all depends. Sometimes like I'll just be on like a Saturday morning as I'm having coffee in the morning. I'll just be like, hey, like I want to write a thread this week. Like, what is it? And then other times, like it's the Doodles example. Other times it's a Sartoshi example where it's kind of a news thing. But yeah, it just depends. But as soon as I get inspired, there's like no stopping me. I just go to the whiteboard and get started.
Yo, that's crazy. I like that a lot, man. I wish I had that talent, that skill. For one, I suck with like whiteboards, man. I'm left-handed, so I smear everything as soon as I start writing on them. So I suck with them, for one. But man, I think I need to start just getting on there more. So for me, I definitely want to ask, I know you're not really like a news person. Like you said, you're not really dying to be the first one to crack the news. But what is it about that? Like, what makes you sometimes want to get the news out there before someone, or like even the Sartoshi, for example, what made you want to be the first one just to do it?
Yeah, the Sartoshi one was very personal because I was a big member of the MFers community. So I had like 8 MFers at one point. So it was really like, I was always involved in there. Sartoshi followed me at one point because I was making memes at Sartoshi. So like he was an interesting guy because not only was he such a big name in NFTs, he was a big part of my own personal journey last year. MFers was probably the community, maybe the top 3 communities I was most involved in last year as well. So it was, so when Sartoshi left, it like really, I really felt a certain way about it. Not negatively. I kind of actually wasn't upset at him leaving. It just was so random, unexpected. And so I just remember that feeling. So when I saw on Twitter yesterday, someone had just tweeted, oh my God, Sartoshi, with no context, that got me to look into it. And then I was like, wait, oh my God, all this stuff just happened like an hour ago. But I'm not seeing other people that post threads talk about it. Hey, this might be an opportunity to do that. But it's very rare that I do that. Like yesterday definitely was an anomaly. Typically, 90% of the times, the stuff I write about comes from a place of, hey, I had this experience and I'm going to share it. Or, hey, here's, a lot of times when I write stuff, I think about what would I have wanted threads to be like on my feed 2 years ago when I was 2 years back in my journey, right? So I really kind of write for my past self. And what I've noticed is, there's other people who are exactly where I was 2 years ago. And those people seem to like really resonate with my threads and my content because they're getting so much value out of it because I've learned so much over the last 2 years. Yeah, if that makes sense.
No, it does. It does 100%. And I mean, dude, there's so much that we could talk on. There's something else that you do that's very great. And I've always took note of it. So mad that I haven't had one made yet. So you should know where I'm going with this. Anytime that I'm in spaces, people absolutely freak out when you join. Now, for those that are listening in, you're probably like, yeah, why the hell would they freak out if Zane joins? Well, you do this thing that's very funny and very cool, but you listen into spaces and big moments. I would say a lot of the times it's a funny moment. You will then go and draw it in your own style while the space is going. So you're listening in, jot down a little quick image, funny image, post it. I want to say almost 10 times out of 10, anyone in the space sees it, especially if you're making, like, for example, you'll be in a thread guy space. You'll make a picture of thread guy yelling at someone or an incident that just happened. People love it. What made you start doing that? Because I know as a creator, it grabs the attention of so many people. I've seen people be like, yo, Zane, please make me one. And you never get one made if you ask. It just has to be random. Please walk us through what is up with the Zane doodles.
Yeah. I think there's 3 things behind it, right? So I can't remember when it started. Sometime last year. Maybe if I had to guess, it started in like August or September. It was kind of like Q4. And anyways, basically the thing that I think there's really 3 reasons I do it, right? So one is I think anytime something's happening in NFTs, everyone, you know, likes to put tweets out about their thoughts on. And what I realized is, I always thought to myself last year when all this stuff was going down for most of 2021 was like, how can I stand out? Like, how can my point of view stand out amongst like the feed, right? Everyone's throwing their point of views out about a certain topic. If I just put out a tweet, like, it's just going to get lost. I don't think I can stand out that way. So how do I stand out? And I was like, well, what if I like package my point of view and the idea into a cartoon form in real time and share that? That way I'm sharing my point of view, right? Like what makes my cartoons isn't the art, like the art's whatever. It's really the composite, it's the entire concept packaged together really quickly in a way. So yeah, for me, one, it was like just a fun challenge. Be like, hey, how can I put my take out there in the world, but also stand out? Two, I treat it as a drawing challenge. So if I'm in a Spaces, for example, like you mentioned, let's say it's a Thread Guy Spaces, and Thread Guy says something or something happens on the Spaces that's like a really interesting, iconic type of moment, immediately I started thinking in my head, like, okay, I'm going to give myself 2 minutes. What's a fun, quick and easy, frictionless idea I can come up with? And then I'll be like, all right, I got the idea. I'll draw it really quickly. I don't care too much about quality as long as it's like good enough to understand what's happening. I'll sign it and I'll put it out there and I'll tag whoever's in the Spaces with a funny copy. And then the goal is to see, can I do all of this while the Spaces is still happening for them to pin it on the Spaces, right? So it's just like a fun drawing challenge. Because it forces me in this case to be creative contextually and draw very quickly. So it just makes me better as a creator and as a thinker. And then three, I think the other part of that is just like, I think it's a fun way to get followers. Because I think like the people that follow you through that tend to like your art, tend to like your sense of humor, the way you think. And those are the types of people I want following me for everything else I do as well.
No, I mean, it's smart, man. Every time I've seen it, I was like, Zane gets it. He definitely gets it. And like you said, like anytime you're in a space, and call it what it is, like Thread Guy, Farouk, these are all people that have like the ability to have thousands and thousands of people in their spaces. So them pinning your artwork, your simple tweet to the top goes a long way. I don't know if the listeners have been in a big space like that and got on stage. Sometimes just getting on stage, not even saying a word, gets you 10, 20, 30 followers. Having your stuff pinned up at the top is the same exact way. People definitely notice. And like you said, I see that stuff. If I laugh, I'm very more likely to go see who it is making me laugh, why I'm laughing at their stuff. And I mean, yeah. I think it's been pretty successful for you.
Yeah. And the other thing is like, think about it. Like, and I had this realization much later, but I remember in 2020 when I was creating Chippy, the brand, and like drawing, you know, when I was drawing Chippy back in 2020 on Instagram, he had a small following, right? Chippy, my character. And I remember one day someone for my birthday back in 2020 drew a fan art image of me and Chippy, right? So they drew it themselves, they digitally drew it. And I remember that moment, dude, I was like, oh my God, someone came up with a cartoon of me. Someone drew me. Someone took the time to draw me and Chippy. And now I'm like, wait, I have the skills to do that for other people, but I can do it so quickly. And it's like, why not? You know? And it's also like a fun cosign, right? And the people that I'm trying to connect with, like you wouldn't, like, I've never talked about this, man, but there's so many amazing people that I've admired that I know there's no chance they would have followed me or ever looked into me or known about me had it not been for these cartoons that catch a little bit of virality in the moment. I think it's interesting. The shelf life, a lot of these cartoons is very low. The shelf life of these cartoons, because they're based on Spaces, an hour, maybe 2 hours, right? But the ROI that I get in those 2 hours is incredible. It's priceless. You know, I've had people like Deez follow me. You know, Deez was one of the people that I would follow on Twitter and was like, oh my God, Deez, he's such a huge art collector. And now, like, he followed me because I drew images of him and Farouk and people like that in the Spaces because there was all these funny jokes. So it's just really cool. I think it's like and plus it's fun to me too. Like, that's the most important thing to me is, like, I genuinely get excited when I come up with an idea in the moment. I'm like, oh, I get to create this. I drop everything. I just go create it really quick. It's a mix of challenge, fun, great way to meet cool people that I like, get followers because of the people that are following me, like, you know, my art, my thinking. It's kind of a win-win-win-win type of scenario.
It definitely is. It definitely is. And I'm telling you, Zane, I know people don't get them when they ask for them, but I'm going to strangle you if I don't eventually see. No, I'm just kidding, man. It's so funny listening to this conversation because, dude, I don't know if it's from all the Gary Vee videos I've watched over time. Shout out to my friend Zach. Dude, y'all are so similar of a person that it's it's so funny. The drive is there. The drive, and then just to whenever you do something, you really do it. Like you don't leave no room for no BS. And I really respect that about you.
I appreciate that.
Absolutely. Before we jump over to the five questions that I ask everyone, I never want to end a podcast or end an episode without asking people, is there anything that you wanted to share or anything that you wanted to say that I might not have given you the opportunity to say?
Oh man, that's a great question. I like that you do that. nothing comes to mind. No, I think we covered all of it. I'll just say this. Look out for all things. I'll say two things really quick because I think these are actually kind of fun. One thing, just look out for Chippy's World. Lots of building in public. Can't wait. But then two, the other thing is really interesting, man. I think 2023 is going to be a fun, interesting year for me because one thing I'll say, and I actually really want to go back and forth like for a second because I'm actually really curious on your fresh point of view on this. So like this year, okay, so I consider myself a creator, right? It's a very broad term. I like to create stuff. Right. I'm a creator. This year, I really leaned heavy into creating Chippy's World, the NFT collection, right? Something I wanted to do for 2 whole years, and it's finally here. People love it. It's the best feeling. Now, as 2023 is coming along, obviously Chippy's World is still like the thing. It's the thing I love the most. It's the thing I'm building with the book, and amazing. Like, that's my thing. That should be, I think, obvious to so many people because of my actions. But the other thing is, though, as I'm creating that, I have so many other creative itches. And then I also think about revenue and stuff too, right? Like you have to think about revenue and money and like how do we generate more funds and like stuff like that. And so I think a lot of projects, like PFP projects, for example, start second collections, right? They start series 2 and series 3 and sometimes in some cases series 8 and 9. And what I've noticed is most of those, at least the ones I've been in and seen, aren't that successful because one, there's no use case. If you can't point to a series 2 and be like, here's what series 2 does that series 1 doesn't do or vice versa, you're in a bad place. The short term, you get the cash. But then as a founder, you've then forever segmented your audience. So anytime you want to launch anything, you have to be like, oh shit, like what does series 1 get? What does series 2 get? How do I explain that? And then also as a holder, then you might get completely screwed over because of, you know, the secondary collection falls and then you fall. Like the whole thing just tumbles. So that doesn't excite me at all. I don't ever want to do that, at least not yet. But what I am going to do, and where I'm really curious on your feedback, is I'm really interested in doing just some really fun, way out there, one-of-one collections, multiple collections this year. So the way I see it, Sniper, is like, I could see a world, and I'm just kind of like arbitrary throwing out these days, I could see a world where I do a very small one-of-one collection that has nothing to do with Chippy, doesn't look like Chippy, there's no Chippy, like nothing. But a one-of-one collection, let's say in Q1 of this year, and I do another small, like 250 supply one-of-one collection in June of this year. And I do another one in October of this year. And they're all super unrelated. And what I love about that personally is one, it lets me scratch that creative itch. Two, if it works, then we get that revenue. But if it doesn't work, then we don't get that revenue. And that's okay. And then three, regardless if it fails or if it's a success or a failure, because they are kind of out there and they're going to be interesting. It shouldn't impact the Chippy's performance because it looks nothing like Chippy. There's no Chippy attached to it. You know what I mean? It's completely out there by itself. And that's really interesting to me. And I've been playing around a lot with what those collections could look like. And it lets me like get really weird. Like one collection could be a mix of like AI and my art. Another collection could be all handmade. Another collection, like, you know, you can get really weird with it without worrying about what's it going to mean for Chippy holders in terms of like it destroying the value of series 1. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I guess with me, I would say that I'm not a second series kind of guy like we were talking about. With V Friends, love Gary V, but I didn't see a use for V Friends 2. Me, I don't know the ecosystem, and that's not a shot at Gary. Sure, yeah. In your case, it don't sound like you're trying to do a second Chippy. You're just wanting to scratch that creative itch. I don't think there's nothing wrong with that. you being a good artist, you being a solid person in that space, I think that's also what helps people gravitate towards you. Like, that's also why I bought Chippy. Like, yeah, I love your artwork, but I love more who you stand for, mm-hmm. what you're building, and just all of it together. So if you did something else, I would want to support that too, just because of who you are and what you've showed me. But me personally, I think it would be great for you to keep making stuff, because you've never wanted to make stuff just to take away from people, if that makes sense. You're yeah. legit trying to build up things, communities, give people stuff. You're just wanting to have a fun time. And I respect that. I love that. So for me, I would love to see you create
stuff. That's a good way
stuff.
To put it. I appreciate it.
I don't know if you've ever thought about making the book
for a second.
Another collection, but that would be sick too. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
No, I appreciate that. Apologies for interrupting. There was a little lag. I think for me, it's like, I completely agree with that. It's like, for me, and by the way, you know, these one-of-ones, the way I see them, these aren't like projects per se. They're just art. Like it's very art-focused, no Discord. Like, it's literally like, hey, how can I take all my ideas and weird concepts and just put them out there? And if they don't perform, great, nothing bad happens. Because, like, I don't ever want to sniper. My biggest fear, dude, in the world, like, one of my biggest fears in the world is being in a position where I have to create something for the sole purpose of it selling out. That's, like, not going to result in good work for me. And I'm not going to have fun. Dude, I have the weirdest idea. I'll talk to you off air. Like, it's going to be the weirdest idea for you that you've ever heard. But, like, I want to just do wacky things and experiment. I think 2023 is my year of experimenting as a creator while also focusing super heavy on Chippy. Like, that book, dude, it's going to be so much fun. We're going to build it in public. We'll have some kind of fun perks for our holders that I'm still, like, kind of ironing out. And then, like, I'm going to shop. I don't know if I'm, like, going to be able to get it. But, like, I'm going to do my best to shop that around and get a huge publisher. Because if I can get a publisher, then I can be in every bookshelf everywhere. And, like, that's when things get fun. And so, yeah, man, I'm super pumped. So it's like, what I'm trying to say is like, Chippy, I will never do it at the expense of Chippy's world. But I also want to make sure we're generating income for that kind of stuff without the, you know, putting Chippy's world holders in harm's way by doing some random series two that no one cares about. And so that's kind of my solution on that front. It lets me be creative. It lets us get revenue for Chippy's world and myself as a creator. And it lets us, it lets me also get weird and just try things out and experiment.
No, 100%. And please forgive me if I interrupt you. I know we have a little bit of a lag. But the thing is, man, that's what's been so great. And I've said it time and time again, is who you are as a person. You've built great things. And I think you should be able to get crazy. You should be able to, like, have fun. But the fact that you're not doing that at the expense of others, like, you're not asking Chippy holders, yo, we need some more money so I can play around. You're doing things, what I feel is, I don't know if there is a correct or incorrect way in this space, but I feel this is the most correct way you would go about something. Like, you're not trying to get people over. You're totally transparent. Hey, just trying to create some cool stuff for y'all. You like it, you don't. That's what's up. So, I mean, for me, man, I'm going to support you. I've loved what you've done. It took me way too long to get a Chippy, but I got one. I'm really excited about the book and just excited about everything you make, man. So I am very excited to hear about this little crazy idea, and we'll talk about that off air. But if you don't mind, man, we can jump over into the five questions.
Yeah, let's do it. Can't wait.
Sound good? Okay, so as the listeners know, you might not, five questions that I ask everyone. We're officially in season two, so I've switched up the five questions a little bit. You're now the second person to get them. But it starts off pretty easy with, what is your goal in 2023? It can be with NFTs, it could be Web3, or it could just be general overall in life. But what is your goal going into 2023, and what do you want to achieve?
Yeah, I mean, in a broad sense, it's to try a lot of things, fail fast, see what works, and then triple down on it. And it's like, by the end of the year, at this time next year, I should be in a position where I can look back and be like, yo, look at all these crazy things we tried. Here's what worked, here's what didn't work, but what a crazy journey. Like, I'm so glad we tried everything.
I like that. I like the fail fast part because I think a lot of people are scared to fail at all, whether it's fast, slow. But I get what you mean. You know, I fail fast. If it works, let me know it don't work. Cool. We'll get it on. We'll pass that. We'll go on to the next thing, see if it works, and keep that. I like that. It's probably something I should try. I'm too scared of, you know, just losing at all. But number two would be, if you could live anywhere in the world, where would you choose?
I've never been, but I really want to go to Tokyo, Japan, and I think I'd really like it. Maybe not Tokyo, maybe like right outside the city I would live, but like I really like the idea of Tokyo, Japan.
I have to ask you just real quickly, what is it about Japan, man, that you love? Just the culture, or is there just like some serious food that you need to get?
I'm sure the food scene is absolutely crazy, but that's the culture, dude. I'm a big anime guy. I'm a big video game guy. I mean, look behind me. I have One Piece manga in half my bookshelf. Like, I just love the culture. It's just every time I look online and watch videos on YouTube, it just looks so exciting. I was meant to go in 2020. COVID happened, so I couldn't travel. And last year, something came up too. So I'm always trying. I'm definitely going to go soon.
Hell yeah, man. That is one place I want to go. But as someone who just came back from New York and has been battling some health stuff, man, I don't know if I'm ever leaving Kentucky again. I think I'm stuck here for a while. So we'll see, man. Hopefully one day I'm in Tokyo, just in Japan.
Yeah.
Because I'm a big anime fan. I know it might not seem like it, but I got my shows, man. I got my shows I like. Number three would be, and this is always a curious one for me now, what is your biggest pet peeve?
Whoa. anything, like anything at all?
Anything, bro. Don't have to be a huge one. Just anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably the same for a lot of people. It's when people eat with their mouth open. It just still, like, drives me crazy. I was trying to think of a cooler one, but that's still, like, the number one thing. There was a time I was living in Cleveland, Ohio for a little bit when I was with Amazon. And I remember, I vividly remember I was at a restaurant. And the person, like, the table next to me at this, like, at this restaurant could not, she was just, like, her mouth was opening all the way up and then down and then all the way up. And I literally left the restaurant. I took it to go and left because I just, my brain was going crazy. My head was out of control.
I would have to say, I don't think I realize when people do that. Whenever I'm out in public, but if I even hear it, I'm like, excuse me, you think you can maybe just like quiet it down over there a little bit? Yeah, that's loud. I totally respect it. Four would be, I like this one. What do people misunderstand about you most?
Oh, man, that's a great question, dude. These are bangers. I think there's a part of me that, I think people misunderstand a little bit about how just focused and like just driven I can get. I think there's something about, like, to your point, how like just like how welcoming I am and inviting I am sometimes. I feel like because I am naturally, I think I'm a nice guy. It's not some like charade. This is like who I am. You can ask my best friends. Like, this is how I act in real life. but I do think because I act like that and people meet me or talk to me online, because I think I'm kind of an open book in that regard, I think people mistake that for like, oh, well, he's so nice. Like, he's not driven to like win. And like, I think there's this weird misconception, like you have to be mean or like take down other people to win. And, you know, obviously, I mean, it's just, you know, I work with Gary, like you said. So I was in an environment where like Gary was preaching that too. So I'm sure that rubbed off on me being there in person and learning from him and, you know, on the content side as well. But yeah, I think people mistake that probably. I'm guessing just from some conversations I've had, like, oh, he's nice or whatever. But it's like, yes, I am, but like, I also really want to win. Like, I want to do some really big things and like have a ton of accomplishments in the space.
Yeah, I don't know who out there thinks that Zane isn't driven, but man, I'm telling you, if I had to be in like a competition or something, I'd be a little nervous just because I know you have that like that drive to you, like. You might not get on a basketball court and be the most competitive person, but best believe I don't think Zane wants to lose at any you know thing. So I like that, man. That's kind of like me. I mean, I feel people are like, oh yeah, he's nice. There's no way that like it's like, don't get it twisted. I definitely want to. to go out here and do whatever it is at full force. So I definitely respect that about you. And as someone who's been watching you tweet and build up what you do, I'm not going to mess around with you. I know you're driven. So. But my last question, and it's pretty easy. Well, not easy answer, but an easy going one. If you won $10 million tomorrow, do you think you know what you would spend it on?
No. I like literally couldn't think of anything.
What's at least one thing you would buy? Do you know?
I mean, no, it's so funny. Like, I don't have a dream car. I don't have a dream house. Like, I don't honestly, like, seriously, like, the thing when you said 10 million, the first thing that hit me was like, oh, great, I can just draw forever. Like, that's literally all I thought. I was like, great, now I have freedom to literally draw for the rest of my life, but probably, and like, just create more things, create comic books, create art. Like, that's literally where my head went once you said that.
So you would use the $10 million to prolong everything and just be able to become a at-home artist, and you would kind of live off that? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yeah. That would be the best. Like, I would probably buy a house, not for the house, but so I don't have to worry about rent. I'd probably pay off the car so I don't have to worry. Like, I would, like, set all that and then just, like, see how long I could stretch these dollars and just create series of comics and art and just do NFT collections, like just become a full-time artist and just go ham.
And it's crazy because I truly feel like you would use the $10 million also to help push and promote Chippy's World.
Yeah, actually, really, look, for real. Like, I would, like, do some weird events in real life. I would, like, probably find some way to help us nail, like, some publishing thing. Like, my thing with Chippy's World is, like, that's the reason I kept it so small is that way, the people that want to be there are able to go in and get out. And I like that it's always around 1,000 unique holders. And it's just something fun about having a smaller group of people to just give to over time. And, like, there's this weird set of, like, level set expectations where they're, like, they trust me because of my actions and how long I've been doing Chippy to know that, like, hey, he is about Chippy no matter what. And, like, I have my thing that's, like, I love you. Thank you for supporting Chippy. Like, I'm going to always try to make sure I do what's best for you. It's really cool. But yeah, I would have Chippy for sure.
Hell yeah, man. I love it. Just to know that if you were to win a bunch of money tomorrow, you're still putting it into something that you love and you're using it to prolong what you love, which is drawing. So, I mean, that ends up a pretty damn perfect podcast. I mean, it's almost been an hour. We've been going for a while. We've talked about everything you've done from the threads to where you've worked to the amazing Chippy to just the amazing person that you are yourself. I've had fun, man. I hope that this was a blast for you, and I hope that we can talk in the future. I know you gave me some tips before the podcast about spaces and stuff. So who knows, man? Maybe I'll have to do a spaces with you whenever you're free in the future or something. But I thank you so much for coming on, and the ones listening, I'm sure they're happy to learn more about you. But if you could, bro, before we end, can you just let the people know where we can find you on social media and stuff?
Yeah, of course. And seriously, dude, thanks for having me on. This is really fun. The best place is probably Twitter. So it's just my name all in one. It's Zane Gaziani, all lowercase, no spaces, nothing in between. And then LinkedIn, you can search me as well, Zane Gaziani. Those two platforms are my most active.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Zane, I greatly appreciate you. Those listening in, definitely go check out Zane. You know, if you're listening, you can always check the description of any streaming platform. Or if you're seeing this on Twitter, you can always check my tweets. I always drop the guest at and where you can find them on Twitter. Nonetheless, you can always go find him on LinkedIn as well. Great guy. I'm connected with him on there because I want people to see, yo, I know Zane too. My man's a great guy. But I thank you for everything, man. This has been a great episode. And for everyone listening, we will see y'all next week. We have some amazing people coming on. And we're going to try to hopefully do some live streaming in the future. Zane gave me some pointers, so hopefully we can do something soon. But thank you to everyone listening in, and we will be seeing you all next week. Peace out, everyone.
See ya.